Well, it's a brand new year, and God has got great things in store for us in 2015. I just want to mention some significant events that are taking place and are going to take place in 2015. How many knew that New Life Church Teesside is a company, a limited company, registered by guarantee? You didn't? Well, let me tell you, we are. And we have directors who are overseers in the company. And the current directors are myself, Luke, Steve, Alan and John. We are the current directors. In the new year, the five current directors are going to be extended by another five. And five more men are coming on to be directors of New Life Church Teesside. They are Tim White, Derek Gibson, Steve Marwood, David Stamp, and Ian Cornforth. They will become directors with us in the company. Please note that the directors are not the leadership team. We have, up until this present time, had directors who are the leadership team, but with the other five men coming on board, the five who are coming on board are not the leadership team. They are directors of the company. And two of those men, for the last several months, have been sitting in with us and praying with us as a leadership team, Derek Gibson and Timothy White, and they will continue to do so. But we have five on the leadership team, and we are going to extend the directors by another five. So there will be 10 directors in the new year. The asset transfer, which will make this building ours with a long 96-year to 100-year lease, that has been in a process for the last 2 years. We have submitted now the business plan to the local authorities, and the local authorities are taking that to Cabinet late January or early February. So in the early part of this year, the asset transfer will be through, and this building will then be leased out to us on a long lease. And that gives us the opportunity then to begin to look at how we extend, how we build here, or whatever God has got planned for us. It gives us the leeway to do it once that asset transfer is through. Of course, it gives us a lot more responsibilities as well. For the last 15 years, the local authority are still the guardians of this building. And as a result of that, we've had a lot of work done over the last 15 years that have, you know, by the local authority. All that work, once we have the asset transfer through, all the maintenance of the building will come under our remit. So as well as it bringing great release, it also brings a great area of responsibility where we will have the upkeep of the entire building without the help of the local authority, which we've had for the last 15 years. We've been working closely last year with Billingham Town Council, especially in the area of youth work. And Billingham Town Council and Diane Rickaby, who is the chief executive of the Town Council, we've been working very closely with them. Last year, if you can remember, we had the event in John Whitehead Park where the American Choir came over. And last year in John Whitehead Park, we staged an event for a full week. That was in connection with Stockton Borough Council. Because of the partnership that we have, funding has been released for a project worker in the schools and amongst young people. Alongside that being released, Sharon came to me way back, I think it was in October time, and began to share her vision, how she would like to get into schools. And we were praying and asking God for someone to take on this role. As a result of Sharon coming to me and sharing her heart, there was a partnership that came together with Sharon and the local authority. And Sharon is going to be released to be a volunteer worker. It's only voluntary, but it will mean that schools will be opened up to her. She'll be able to go into schools and share her testimony, connect with young people, connect with girls. And we just believe this is a tremendous door of opportunity that God's opened. It's a small door. We don't know where it's going to lead to, but we are looking forward to what God has got in store in the coming year. And it's a divine connection. When Sharon came and shared with me what God had put in her heart, I didn't say anything to her, but I thought she's ticking all the boxes that Stockton-Borough Council have asked. And as a result of that, it's all come together, and we are very grateful for that. We're still working with Teesside Youth for Christ, and we are looking forward to hopefully have a team working full-time here at New Life of American young people from the States, a team working with us full-time, two or three of them, and that is in the process of being worked out at this moment in time. Last year, we developed a new pattern here at New Life of evangelism and discipleship. It works simply that on a Tuesday night, once a fortnight, the discipleship group meets together. Once a fortnight on a Tuesday evening, the school of leaders or the school of ministry meets on a Tuesday evening. That facilitates our discipleship. On a Wednesday, Thursday, or any other time during the week, we've started the evangelistic connect groups, and they will be continuing to run every week throughout the coming year. Alongside that, we've had two Encounter with God weekends last year. We aim this year to have at least another two, or possibly three. We really feel they are significant in what God is doing. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet been on an Encounter with God weekend, to book in with us, to get involved with an Encounter with God weekend. The next one is in April. What's the dates? 17th, 18th, and 19th of April. Please get your names down. Please see Teresa. The booking forms are in the foyer. Put your name down, see Teresa, and it would be tremendous if even people who have been would want to go with us again. I know some have already booked in for a great weekend, meeting with God. And so that will be ongoing in the coming year. For the past 36 years, and it seems such a long time, it's been my privilege, it's been my joy to be the senior leader here at New Life. And those years have been years of blessing. They've been years of challenge, but they've always been years where there's a fresh sense of what God is doing. And we thank God for all that He's accomplished. Several years ago, I shared with the leadership team that we should now be looking for someone to succeed me as the senior leader here at New Life. I had a strong witness that Luke was to be that person who would succeed me and take on the mantle of senior leader here at New Life. And some of you may be aware of it and some may not have been aware of it, but for the past 4 years, we've been on a journey of transition. We've been on a journey of transition and working alongside Luke to for Luke to take on this role of senior leader. You know, friends, I really believe God has helped us wonderfully and graciously. And, you know, for some churches, the succession to senior leadership, or if a senior leader steps down and goes somewhere else, for some churches, the road is troublesome and it's a daunting pathway. It's a daunting pathway to bring someone in after someone's been in senior leadership and then moves away. The church has got to go through the whole process of choosing another leader. But I thank God that God has graciously helped us. And we have known his hand of blessing with us over the time of transition. And it's been a time where we've known the peace of God in it all. And it hasn't been hazardous in any way. And a young man has stepped up amongst us. I am grateful to God. From the ranks, a young Timothy has come through, and he's been with us for a lot of years. And so I am confident, absolutely confident, that he's the right man for the job. And 2 years ago, we asked if you would sponsor Luke for 1 day a week. We did that because we realized that taking on such a role and responsibility, there needs to be time for that to happen. And so 2 years ago, we asked you to sponsor Luke, and I just want to say a very big thank you for your sponsorship that really released Luke from his job at the God Channel for 1 day a week. Still not a lot, but it was a day a week where Luke was able to be with us for a full day. And thank you for your faithfulness in supporting Luke for this purpose. As we move into 2015, we believe the time is now right to bring Luke onto employment here at New Life. His job at the God Channel finished in December. Luke took redundancy. He chose not to move to Plymouth because he felt that God wanted him here. And so at the beginning of this year, Luke will be starting his full-time employment here at New Life. Can I say his sponsorship will still be ongoing? Because although Luke will be working full-time, up until July, he'll only be getting a part-time wage. So his sponsorship will help make up the difference that he's not getting until July. And obviously, he's now not employed at the God Channel either. And so we would like others to get on board, if you are able to help sponsor Luke up until July. There's an end date to it. It's not going to be forever. For those who are already sponsoring Luke, your sponsorship will finish in July. That will be the end of it. And thank you very much for sponsoring him. We would like others to get on board for the next 6 months, up until July, who will just boost that sponsorship a bit and just help Luke through this process of coming. In July, I will swap roles with Luke. I will be retiring from the role of senior leader, but I'm not retiring from the ministry. I still feel I've got something to give in God. I don't feel old, but I will be 65 in July. I don't feel old. I still feel I've got something that I've got to offer to the kingdom of God and something to offer to New Life Fellowship. But in July, Luke will become the senior leader, and I will support him and I will serve him as he has served me. I'm thankful, friends, that, you know, when a new leader comes in, everything changes in the church. You know the old saying, a new broom sweeps clean? Well, I thank God that the transition will be so smooth, because Luke's been involved in the decision making for the last 7-8 years. So he's not coming in and he's not going to move the furniture around and change everything. And it's not going to be a dramatic change, because Our vision has been a vision not just of one man, it's been a leadership team vision that has took us to where we are at this moment in time. So Luke coming in and me moving over will not be vastly different. No major changes will be taking place. I just want to thank you for supporting him until July. There's sponsor forms in the foyer if you want to help with this transition period up until July. I really believe 2015 is going to be a thrilling year, an exciting year in God for us here at New Life. You know, since making the decision for Luke to come into employment, you know, you look for signs of God's hand of blessing. Whenever you make decisions, we step out in faith because we don't have we don't have all the resources when we step out in faith. You know, if we had to wait until we had all the resources before we did something, then we'd never do anything. And so we've stepped out in faith. But from the time we stepped out in faith and made this decision with Luke, you know, autumn time, God has wonderfully helped us. Let me tell you, friends, the tithes and offerings have gone up. From that time, we had a wonderful gift given to us of £10,000 just prior to Christmas. And with gift aid, that gift will go to £12,500. And I want to tell you, friends, God has just helped us and put his hand upon what we have sought to do for him. We try to be faithful, and I really believe that God has helped us and wonderfully, graciously shown his hand of blessing. Can I say to people who give regularly to New Life Church, if you are a taxpayer and you pay income tax, would you consider gift aiding what you give to New Life or to the Lord? Last year in this fellowship, £15,000 extra finance came in because of the people who gift aid. I understand from the staff in the office that when the offering is counted, there are some offerings with hundreds of pounds in an envelope. If there's £100 in an envelope that's been given and you're a taxpayer, for no extra cost to you, that £100 suddenly becomes £125. So we want to be good stewards, and we want to throw this out to the fellowship for you to take on board and consider. If you are an income taxpayer and you are giving to the work of God, would you please consider gift aiding that income? I really believe, friends, that the best is yet to be in 2015. The old hymn said, the world behind us, the cross before us, no turning back. Jesus said, no man that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is fit for the kingdom of God. I thank God we've put our hands to the plow. Amen. We are not turning back. Like Margaret Thatcher said, didn't she? This lady is not for turning. Let me tell you, friends, we are not for turning. We're not turning back. We are pressing on. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul that I just want to end this with this morning. When he spoke to the church at Philippi, when he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we've got 2014's now in the history books. 2015 is here, and we press on. Paul said that word means he strained, just like a runner strains for the tape at the end of the race. You know, he strained. When I was at school, you used to have a ribbon two people used to hold the ribbon, and you used to, you know, strain towards bursting through and breaking that ribbon first. Now they've got all this electronic stuff, haven't they? Where the runners pass the line. They haven't got a ribbon anymore. But that was the context in which Paul said these words. I strain towards the mark. What was the mark? It was the person who was observing the race. It was the official at the end of the race. That was the mark. Or another word is the observer. What Paul was saying, I press towards the mark. What mark? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, friends, he was saying, Jesus is the mark. He's the one who's observing us as we're running. He's the one, he's got to be our goal and our vision. And we press towards the goal, Christ himself. So in 2015, we thank God for all that's passed, but we press on to all that God's got for us. Amen? And I really believe, friends, God has got great things for us as we move into a new year. I am excited at what God's going to do. Amen? Really excited. Father, we just pray this morning as we lay our vision out before you. We pray, Lord, that you will own it. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will get hold of us and the vision, and we will run with it. That this year, I thank you that in this place this morning, there are people who found you in 2014, or you found them. You brought them to yourself. And I pray, Lord, in 2015, this place will not be able to contain the number of people who, Lord, you are going to bring amongst us, who are going to have their lives transformed by your mighty power. I pray that, Lord, this will be the most significant year we have ever had. I pray, Lord, for fruitfulness in all of our lives, and I pray for great increase in the house of the Lord. We give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, here we are at the start of 2015, and it's going to be quite a year ahead of us. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do this year and what God's going to do with us individually. Are you excited for what God can do this year? It's going to be a great year. And even looking back at 2014 was a significant year for us as a church. And I really believe as we stand or sit here now, we're a different church than we were this time last year. I believe we've had an extremely significant year. It's been a real year of transformation amongst us. And God has done a work in us as a church. There's an excitement here on a Sunday morning now that is unlike what we've had in years gone by. I really believe that. You know, I'm excited more than I've ever been to be here on a Sunday. And it's hard to define in words what's changed, but it's changed. Our times of celebration on Sunday morning are such... I've seen such a growth in the presence of God amongst us. I hate missing a week. And now I'm no longer with God TV. I don't have to miss a week. Now, I know we don't focus on numbers too much because it's not about numbers. But let me tell you, each digit of a number is a person, and each person matters. So numbers do matter. And last year, we saw such a rise in our numbers. Ever since our first encounter weekend, we've been regularly over 100 people. That's not happened for years. And I believe this year, it's going to be the norm to be over 100 people. Sundays are exciting. Sundays should be the most exciting day of the week. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I'm believing for great things this year. I believe God is going to do great things in the lives of this church and in our lives as individuals. You know, we've already got to the point last year where we were too full in here. And we had our baptismal service, we got into trouble because we put too many people in this room. It's not going to be long before this room's too small. And we're going to need a solution. where we're going to put everybody, because I'm believing we're going to see more growth this coming year. As Pastor shared, there's going to be a transition in senior leadership. If that scares you, that's okay. That scares me a lot more than it scares you. But let me reassure you, Pastor Cliff isn't going anywhere. As a leadership team, we've worked together for the past 8 or so years, and I can confidently say, as a leadership, we've never been more in line with each other than we are now. We are united in vision, and we're united in purpose. Pastor asked me to share something about, I first came to this church when I was 11, maybe 10, might have been 10. And Pastor didn't know this, but one of the first few weeks that we came, I came with my family. At the end of the meeting, and I still remember this like it was just, yesterday, Pastor prayed for me, little 10-year-old boy. And he prayed that God would make me a mighty man of God and would move me into ministry. And you know what? I never forgot that. He did. But that's only to be expected. How many people have you prayed for that you've not remembered? I tell you what, every time you pray for somebody, the significance of that prayer stays with them. It really does. And I never forgot it. I was baptized in this church. When I started to see God after my teenage years where I was wandering, it was here that I came back to. This is the first place I ever drove. I used to live over in Peterlee. This was the first place I came to in my car. It was the place where I felt welcomed and at home. Let me tell you, I love this church. And that's why I can say, as we're looking ahead for this coming year, as a leadership, we're united and we all love this church. And let me tell you, the vision's not going to change. The vision is not going to change. We will not be diverted from what God has started amongst us. We are going to double our efforts, and we're going to press on. Every time I ask God, what's the vision for this year? What do you want me to speak on this morning? He brought me back to the same passage time and time again. I kept looking for another one. He kept bringing me back to this one. And this is the vision of this church, but this is also the vision, I think, that should be more personal to each of us. As we look ahead for this year, I believe this is the vision for our lives. What is the vision for the year ahead? Well, it's what it's always been. It's the Great Commission. Jesus died and he rose again. And he shows himself to the disciples time after time. And then he meets with them on the Mount of Olives. And he speaks to them this one last time. This is Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And these would be Jesus' parting words. Even though his disciples at the time didn't know, they'd be his parting words. From verse 18 to 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And then he was taken up into heaven. The evangelist J. John is often called the Great Commission the Great Omission. Why? Because too often these final words of Jesus, these final commands, are not the top of our agenda. In fact, sometimes they're not even the top half of our agenda. But these words of Jesus are why we exist as a church. These words are our main purpose and our main thrust. And these words should be the main purpose and main thrust of our lives. You can spend a lot of time coming up with a vision statement for a church. I remember we were doing this a few years ago, trying to come up with a way to say what it is we do. Where we're trying to just reinvent the wheel, because what Jesus said is the vision of this church: to go, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything he commanded us, knowing he is with us. That's our vision. That's what we're here for. Everything we do as a church centers around that statement. If not, then we're just a club. We're just another community service or a community organization. We're just like everything else. Any church that doesn't have this statement right at its core is not doing the work Jesus asked us to do. And the first thing he said was, go. The first word he uses with the power of command was go. We are not to wait for people to come to us. We are to go to them. Because until we go, nothing's going to happen. Until we start acting intentionally in the Great Commission, we will not see people saved. Steve shared on this a few weeks ago, and he said one big thing that holds us back, it's fear. And that's true. The one big thing that holds us back is fear. But if we don't tell people, who's going to do it? You know, you might be the one and only chance somebody has to be saved from a lost eternity. And it is eternity that we're dealing with. There is one destination for the lost. There is one future for every person who doesn't know Jesus. And if we don't go to them with the good news, they may never, never know that truth. See, that's why Paul said, woe to me if I preach not the gospel, because he got why this was so serious. He said that the love of God compelled him to tell other people. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded of the reality of what's at stake. There are two destinations for all mankind. Just two. Heaven and hell. There's no in between. There's no nearly. There's two places. Daniel 12:2, he says, those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Either people have accepted Jesus into their life or they haven't. It's that black and white. There really is no gray when it comes to salvation. We can't muddy this. And how will they know if nobody tells them? See, here's the trouble with this word go. It's not our natural instinct. Our natural self seeks comfort. It seeks stability. And when we go, we don't have comfort or stability. I wonder if Jesus had not told the disciples to be witnesses to the outer ends of the earth, would they have had a compulsion to go and do that? Because I don't think they would have. In fact, he did tell them, go. And what did they do? For a long period of time, they stayed. The church stayed in Jerusalem, even though Jesus told them to go to the outer ends of the earth. They stayed in their comfort zone. It wasn't until the persecution came in Jerusalem that they were scattered and dispersed and preached the word to the world. It was 5 years after Jesus said this that the church was scattered, and they even got as far as Samaria. 5 years. Even Peter, who was there when Jesus said this, despite Jesus saying go, didn't want to receive Gentiles. It took a vision from God for Peter to change his mind. Even though Jesus said go to every nation. If you're going to go to every nation, you have to reach Gentiles. But the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, wasn't until 10 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. 10 years! Let me tell you, going is not our natural compulsion. And if it takes a persecution and a scattering to do it, then that's what it'll take. But I pray that's not what it's going to take. Going involves action. It involves displacement. It involves discomfort. And you know what? Going doesn't happen by accident. The word go requires that we do something. Here's the reality. Most people in Teesside do not know Jesus. Most people who come into this center during the week do not know Jesus. Most people you meet on a day-to-day basis do not know Jesus. Let me tell you, that's a pretty big mission field. John 4:35 says, "Do not say there's yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see, the fields are white unto harvest." You know, the problem is not a lack of people who need to hear the gospel. There's loads of them. Seriously, you can't throw a stone without hitting one. They're everywhere. There is more of them than there is of us. The problem is not a lack of targets. It's a lack of going. And if they don't meet Jesus, they only have one destination, and that's hell. A year ago, or just over a year ago in November, we had our 60th anniversary celebrations, and John Hibbert came to speak. And there was a growing excitement amongst us that God was about to do something, that God was going to help us reach the lost. As a leadership, we'd been looking for some time as to where God wanted us to go. We needed answers, and I believe that we got those answers when that vision was presented to us. You know, things were moving along, okay. We were doing fine as a church. But I tell you what we weren't doing. We weren't really reaching the lost. And I tell you, as a church leadership, to have that conversation, it hurts. In 2013, to the best of my knowledge, we baptized nobody. Nobody. And that was worrying. In 2012, 2011, going back, we'd had baptisms every year. 2013, nobody. We were ticking along, but we weren't really following the go part. And so we sucked God. And as we did, I've seen the leadership transform as people. They are not the same people they were this time 2 years ago, even a year ago. And we are working closer together than ever. And I've seen the revelation of this new vision change this church. This year we had baptisms twice. Last year we had baptisms twice. And we're planning another one for February. Just in November we baptized 15 people. And this place was packed to the rafters. What a great day that was. So much so we couldn't fit any more people in here if we tried. And actually, health and safety wise, we probably shouldn't have fit so many people in here. Since then, week after week, we have seen a wonderful crowd of people coming together to worship. And it has been amazing to see it. Every Sunday, I am experiencing a new level of excitement of what God's going to do. We cried out, and God answered. He has done abundantly more than we ever expected. And a huge part of that was in that challenge. Go. I'm just going to move a little bit this way. You know, a lot of people who've never met Jesus have a very negative view of church. An invite to a church is not an appealing thing. But as we've seen, an invite to a connect group, an invite into somebody's home, is more appealing. We've seen in the 3 months that they've been running, the connect groups work. People are hearing the gospel, some for the very first time, and they're responding to it. This year, as we move forward, the connect groups are key to our evangelism. The connect groups, thank God for every person who's made a decision to follow Jesus in those groups. In the 3 months of running them, we've seen it works, and we've seen precious souls come into a relationship with Jesus. But more than anything we did last year, those groups were attacked by the enemy. There was a time, actually, in the run-up, where I began to wonder if they'd ever start. it really was getting that attacked. I thought, this isn't going to work. Why were they so attacked? Because that's where there's so much potential to damage the enemy's kingdom. That's where we're going to do him the most damage. And he hated that they launched. And let me tell you, he hated that they launched successfully. He hated the fact that people were saved in them. And he hates the fact that more people are going to get saved this year. We will not be distracted. We will not back down. And those 3 months are just a taster of what God's got in store. I believe we've seen nothing yet. In the last 4 months of the year, we saw 15 people make a decision to follow Jesus in the Connect groups and the youth alone. 15 people. That's not to mention at least 6 that immediately come to mind when we talk about decisions on a Sunday. Actually, I think it's more than that. I think it might be about 8 that I can think of off the top of my head. As we follow that command to go, then this is an area I believe we're going to see great breakthrough in this year. Let me urge you. Urge is a good word. Urge you to become part of a Connect group. Because this is what we're all about. If we are not preaching the gospel, what on earth are we doing? Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. It's a beautiful, wonderful, entirely necessary thing to do. And the Connect groups will be our main evangelistic thrust this year. We can guarantee that each and every week, the gospel will be preached right throughout Teesside. Every week, the good news will be shared. Every week, there will be an opportunity for somebody to respond to Jesus. And we need to keep on pressing home, pressing on. We need to keep up momentum. Let me tell you, if you're in a group where the momentum's not there, don't lose heart. All it takes is one breakthrough to transform that group. So we go. That's the first thing Jesus commanded. And do what? We go and get decisions. Yes? No. It's not what Jesus said. He said, we go and we make disciples. Disciples don't just happen. They're made. Becoming a disciple is not something, again, that happens by accident. It takes time and it takes work. You know, the transition between making a decision to follow Jesus and becoming a disciple can be a hard, hard transition. And there's many people who fall through the cracks at that point. It's wonderful that we've talked about all the decisions that have been made, but we're not here to get decisions, we're here to make disciples. We can't rest once a hand's gone up. Becoming a Christian is learning how to make Jesus Christ Lord of every area of our lives. And for that, there needs to be guidance. When someone makes a decision, often there's a lot of baggage, a lot of things that they need to work through, especially today. And it's going to be a challenge. There's going to be things that need to be dealt with. You know, Jesus spent 3 years in the lives of his disciples. He spent time with them. He taught them. He ate with them. He laughed with them. He cried with them. And he challenged them. Sometimes he got really annoyed with them. And he built them up. See, the goal of a disciple is to become more and more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Bible doesn't say we move from one degree of crisis to another. We move from one degree of glory. None of these men that Jesus spent time with were instantly changed. But they grew and they developed. Jesus forged these men into disciples. He taught them, he forgave them, and then he sent the Holy Spirit to help them. And we need to do the same with the people we reach. This is not a production line. We can't get a decision and then just move on. As a church grows, it becomes harder and harder to care for new people. It becomes harder to get a connection with every person so that they can be brought into discipleship. Sadly, the bigger the church, the easier it is to hide and to get lost and to get forgotten. And in the past, we've not always got this right. And I really believe one of the reasons we've not seen breakthrough in our growth is that God knew we weren't ready to cope with it. You see, there can be a lot of damage done if somebody makes a decision and there's no support. The discipleship structure that we now have in place, I really believe, is going to enable this growth. It's going to release it. Every person, once they've made a decision, will have somebody looking out for them. Every person. And it's not just a caring function. It's not just a caring job. It's not just checking in to check somebody's okay, you know, once a year. No, this is working and doing life with a person. It's discipling somebody. It's being there for them when they go through hard times. It's being there with them when they go through good times. Pastor Cliff shared amongst the discipleship group sometime, I think in the last few months, that he said it's the best thing we've ever done. And I agree. It can be the best thing we've ever done. Now, there's been glitches. We haven't got it perfect all the time. But I believe we'll work through these. And we're going to have a support structure and a discipleship structure in this church where everybody's cared for, everybody's challenged, and everybody's enabling growth. If you're someone who actually have never been contacted by your disciple, by the way, then we'll work through it. Just let us know. You know, it's not a big deal. We'll work through it. We'll make it work. But I believe with this structure, we can spend time with each other. We can do life together. We can cry with each other. We can challenge each other, and we can make disciples of each other. It started with a front line. This year, as we see more people saved, the front line isn't going to be the only people who are looking after people. It's going to have to develop. Everybody in here, hopefully, over these coming years, will have somebody that you're looking after, somebody that you're discipling, somebody whose life you're investing in. And as we grow and grow, more and more of us will have more and more people that we're getting involved in their lives. Also, another key in seeking disciples rather than just decisions is the Encounter with God weekend. This year, as Pastor Cliff shared, we're going to press on with these. We're going to have at least two this year. See, once someone has made a decision, it is an excellent grounding in the faith. If somebody who is a new Christian, let me tell you, it will be a life-changing weekend. The Encounter with God weekends are a huge part in us making disciples. Last year we had two Encounter weekends, the second of which was the first one that we did all by ourselves. And they have been such powerful times where the presence of God has been so strong amongst us. Tell you what, it was a privilege at that last Encounter weekend to see God touch the people in our church like he did. It was such a privilege to be there. It's wonderful. And the purpose of it is to make disciples. If you've not been on an Encounter weekend, you come into two categories of people. Either you're a new Christian or you're an old Christian. Let me tell you, it's ideal for both of you. For new Christians, it is such a grounding. For old Christians, it's such a wake-up call. It's a great weekend. So can I encourage you again, if you've not been, it's a key part of where we're heading as a church. So we'd love everyone to have been there. I think most people have now. We're certainly getting through a lot of people. The next thing that Jesus said was, we go and make disciples and to teach them to obey all that he's commanded. Notice he didn't say, teach them to remember all the stuff I said, or teach them to be able to quote scripture. No, he said, teach them to obey. Knowing it and obeying it are two different things. It's very simple. John 14:15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, it's not just about knowledge. Need to move again. It's about transformation. As we learn what Jesus commanded, and as we come into obedience with that, then we are transformed more and more into his image. From one degree of glory to another. The first part has to be information. We need to teach people the Word of God. We need to teach people what the Word of God says. But information on its own is never going to be enough. Information needs to be teamed up with revelation, which in turn needs to bring transformation. That's where the power of the Word of God has the power to change us. Where it's not just facts and rules and remembering things, but it's a real connection with our spirit that brings about change in our lives. This means teaching people about sin. It means teaching people about growth. It means teaching about the Holy Spirit. About teaching people to love, teaching people to develop in the fruits of the Spirit, teaching people how to study and pray, teaching people to move in the power gifts of the Spirit. It means teaching the full counsel of God, and then teaching people to apply it. Acts 20:27 says, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." And I want that to be true of us as a church. We will never shrink from teaching the whole counsel of God, even the stuff that we sometimes don't understand and struggle with. It means if we're teaching people to obey everything Jesus commanded, now that includes teaching people to obey the Great Commission, to preach the gospel, and to go and make disciples, and in turn teach those disciples to obey, to go and preach the gospel. I'll stop there, but it goes on. Now that is what the main aim is on a Sunday morning's teaching. Our main teaching focus is right here on a Sunday morning. Learning to obey what Jesus commanded is a lifelong process. Let me encourage you to get teaching outside of just this. Life is a big thing. An hour on Sunday morning isn't just going to cut it. Life's a big deal. You know, I'm still learning to obey in ways I didn't know I wasn't obeying until God revealed them. Learning to obey is the Christian life. It's the walk of sanctification that we're all on. But as well as a Sunday morning, we also have our school of ministry up and running. And that is to teach us to obey and to make disciples. We hope that we can start a school of ministry after every encounter, or maybe after every other encounter. So if you've not been part of the school of ministry so far, let me encourage you. After the next encounter weekend, we will be starting again. There will be an opportunity to jump in. The school of ministry has just completed its first part a few weeks ago, and the first part was such a blessing. There was some great foundational stuff in there. And the material we've covered, I believe, has laid a foundation that's going to take us up to the next level. But it's got to be about more than just this. You see, we can hear it. We can hear it all day, every day. But until we start to obey it, guess what? Nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. Let me encourage you as well. Don't just be spoon-fed. Please, 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 read your Bibles. Amen. Get into the Word. And don't just get into it. Don't just read it. Don't just let it be information. But when it says something, obey it. Obey it. It's amazing the amount of times you can read the Bible and go, ooh, yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to do that. Obey it. Everything Jesus commanded. Let me tell you, if you're not reading the Bible, you don't know what to obey. It's very easy to get confused. It's very easy to get off track. Get into the Word. And get into teaching about the Word. You know, you can't get enough of it. You're never going to be so... I can't think of the word. You're never going to be so literate in the Bible that there's going to be nothing new there. There's always going to be something new there. Now, a lot of the things we've talked about this morning, themselves are not the vision. They're a framework. They're a structure to help us achieve the vision, which is to go and make disciples and to teach them to obey. Everything we are doing at New Life is to help fulfill the Great Commission. But let me tell you, it is an impossible task, even to reach Teesside, without some help. Thankfully, we have help. Jesus ended the Great Commission with this statement, "I am with you always, even until the end of the age." He is with us. Without him with us, this would be impossible. But with him, with his strength, then we can do this. We can do this because we are more than conquerors through Christ. We're not just conquerors, but we're more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Do you know what all things means? Yes. It means all things. That means there's nothing that can't be achieved when Christ is with you. If Christ is with us, if his Holy Spirit is in us, it enables everything to happen. It is the presence of God in our lives that makes all of the difference. If I had one prayer for us as a church this year, it's this. More of his presence. More of his Spirit. That we as individuals will draw closer to him this year. And this year, we're going to be starting this year by seeking a greater sense of the presence of God amongst us. A greater manifestation of his presence than we've ever seen amongst us before. In the coming weeks, for the next few months, the main focus of our teaching is going to be on this. The presence of God. Because the presence of God changes everything. And if we see more of his presence in our lives, the effect on us, the effect on the church, and the effect on this area would be huge. What is our vision for this year? It's very simple. It's not changed. Our vision has always been the Great Commission. And it always will be. How that works out? Well, the change in structure we saw last year is working. And this year we press on and we double our efforts. And we're going to take this area for Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? We are going to take this area for Jesus. We are going to see Teesside transformed. And I'm not going to settle for anything less. And we are seeing it happen. I really feel God wants us to say this. I was sharing with Pastor Cliff, and he encouraged me to share the vision that I had. Some of you have heard this before, some of you won't. As I was driving up the A19. Now, you know when you're nearing Teesside when you drive up the A19, don't you? You know when you're getting close. You see the cloud. You know you're nearly home when you see the cloud. As someone who travels a lot, I love seeing that cloud. But I got this vision of coming up the A19 and seeing a different type of cloud. But seeing the glory of God over Teesside. And it being so obvious that it was almost visible. That when you come to Teesside, there's something different about the atmosphere in Teesside. That we could walk into coffee shops and it not be unusual for people to be having a Bible study in the corner. That this area could be transformed just by the sheer volume of Christians who live in it. Because where we go, God goes. The more of us there is, the more of God there is in an area. And it isn't going to just take one church to do it. I really believe that. It's every church. But I believe Teesside can be transformed. And Pastor said something to me. He said, share that because I believe we're chipping away at it. And as he said chipping away, God just spoke to me and said, yes, we are chipping away. But you know what? A little chip doesn't feel like much, does it? It's like a little dent in a big sculpture or a big piece of rock. A little chip. But a couple of chips and something begins to take shape. And one chip in the right place, and I got this picture of a whole chunk of rock coming off. Because you hit a fault line in that rock, a whole heap comes off. We just keep chipping away, we're going to hit a fault line. And something magnificent's going to happen. And I really believe that. I really believe that. Each chip might seem insignificant, but there's a whole side going to come off this rock. This is not about building a big church. It's about populating a kingdom. Yeah. And it is going to take a strong, growing, outward-looking church to do it. I believe Teesside will be changed. I believe this area will experience a move of God like it's never seen before. That the presence of God in our towns will be noticeable. I can think of no greater cause this side of heaven to be a part of. A harvest of lost souls connecting with the King of Kings and living to spend time in His presence. We will go. The gospel will be preached right throughout Teesside every week. People will be saved. People will be set free from the powers of darkness. Hell will be plundered. And heaven populated. Hallelujah. We will make disciples. Every person connected to this church is important to God. And every person connected to this church is important to us. You matter. It matters that you are cared for. And it matters that you are challenged and guided into growth. It matters that you are trained to win others. It matters that somebody has your back. And we will teach them to obey. Development and teaching and conforming all of us closer to His image is important. As well as proclaiming the gospel, we will continue to teach the full counsel of God. And this year, we will have a greater understanding of I am with you. We will continue to seek His presence and see it manifest amongst us. We will keep our eyes on Him. We will go in word and we will go in spirit. And with the Holy Spirit leading us, we are going to see Teesside transformed. We are going to see Teesside changed for the kingdom of God. I just want to give us an opportunity now. We're going to pray. But if you're with us as a church, if you're ready to say, I want to go. I want to make disciples. I want to help teach people. And I want to experience a greater sense of God's presence. Then I just want you, as we pray, now actually just do it now. Let's stand together and then we'll pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.